Hear the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Especially on Father's Day. And as I begin, I just want to say a word of thank you. As you've seen, the Alliance Women's Project is Hope for the Brokenhearted, which is to go to Iraq. And of all of the churches in Canada, as of March 31st, Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church is the number one giver. So you guys deserve a hand. Thank you for your support of missions and missionaries and the international workers that we have around the world. My message this morning is about honoring your father. Whether we like it or not, we all have fathers. And some of our fathers are great role models, and we have good relationships with them, and some of them may not be so perfect. This morning, I want to share a little bit about my father, and I want to honor him this morning in a very special way. As international workers, it's only once every 5 years I actually get to spend Father's Day with my father, and today is one of those times. And after we're finished here, we're going to go back 2 hours out to Agassiz to spend some time with him. I invited him to church this morning, but he thought that maybe one service at 9:30, another one at 11:15, and then meeting with the Alliance Women and having lunch would be a little bit too long for him, and all my brothers and sisters wouldn't have a chance to spend time with him, so we're sharing today. Well, on my first slide here, I want to show you a picture of my father. He's the good-looking guy, looks like Elvis in the middle. My father worked for the Department of Highways, and he was a good father and is a good father. From him, I learned the value of hard work, the values of honesty and integrity. And while he was working building roads in Manitoba, northern Manitoba, we would move every 4 or 5 years so that he could come home in the evenings to be with us. And that showed me that he honored his children and his wife and spent time with us. He treated everyone with respect. And as good as a man as he is, my father's actually been married 3 times. There have been 2 divorces in our family. And yet, he's never said anything negative about anyone. And that is a trait that I would love to learn. He's not perfect. He tends to work too hard. He tends not to speak too much. But in many, many ways, he demonstrates his love for his children and for his family. We always had a roof over our head. We always had food on the table. And I remember as a child, my father would come home from work and he would go to the garage and work on people's vehicles. And so I recognized at a very young age, if I wanted to spend time with my father, I needed to go where he was. And so I would go in the garage in middle of winter, I'd be freezing, and I would be handing him tools. And our conversation would not be about important, significant things. It would be, I need a crescent wrench, and I would hand him the crescent wrench. Or I need a hammer, and I would hand him the hammer. But we spent time together. And no one can take that away from my father and I. In 1973, we had a crisis in our family when my mother decided to leave. And she left 5 children behind. I was the oldest. We have reconciled, and we spent time with my mother just yesterday. But when she left, my father, I remember, called us into the room. There were 5 children. I was 11, and the rest were younger. And he sat us there in the bed, and he said, I want to tell you this. No matter what happens, I will never leave you. And he meant it. So in 1988, when I got married to the most beautiful woman in the room, sorry, ladies, I'm biased, but in 1988, when we were married, well, next slide, Mark, there we go, I asked my father to be my best man. Because at that point in my life, he was the best man I knew. And it was a wonderful honor to have him be there as my best man. Some other things I learned about my father is things that I later learned reminded me of my Heavenly Father. I did not come to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior until I was 13. And for many of us, when we recognize God as our Father, we take an image of our earthly father with us and place that upon God. We think that if God is Father, he's like our earthly father. And sometimes that's wrong. Our earthly father is to be an image of the godly father. The model is reversed. And one thing I learned from my father was the actual ability to love. And in this next picture, you'll see a picture of me. I'm the good-looking guy in the middle. And I just got a microscope for Christmas. And my brother, Bobby Orr, doesn't play hockey. Robert's his name. Has a horse, and Mark is on the other side, and my sisters, Monique and Michelle. Monique and Michelle were adopted. And the amazing thing about our Heavenly Father is that he wants to adopt each and every one of us. We are his children. He makes no distinction once we enter into his family, whether we are blood relatives or whether we are simply adopted. Monique and Michelle were my cousins. Their parents were killed in a car accident Christmas Eve, and at the age of 6 months, they came to live with my family. And there's no difference in our family whether they're adopted or not. They are just family. They are my sisters as much as my brothers are my brothers. This is something that I learned about my Heavenly Father from my earthly father. Think of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, where a son who wandered far from God, far from his earthly father, a young man who went to his dad and said, "Dad, I want my inheritance. I want to take it now while you're still alive." He was in essence saying to his father, "I wish you were dead. Give me my portion." And the father graciously gave it to the son. The son went away to a distant land, the Bible says, and he squandered it on food and wine and women. And he came back. He came back to himself many years later, realizing that he had wasted everything. Feeding the swine, he wanted to go home and simply serve his father as a servant because he recognized that even his father's servants were treated better than he was. Going back with a speech prepared in his mind to what to tell his father, you know the story. The father was watching and waiting. And when the son returned to the father embraced him and gave him a robe and created a feast and honored his son. That is the image of our Heavenly Father that we serve. How difficult it must have been for that father to see his son leave. How difficult it must have been for my father to see Betty and myself and our children, Ben and Emily, as we left back in 1998 to go to the mission field. We were a lot younger then. When we went to Poland, we only knew four words in Polish. We could say please, thank you, six, and eight, because our children were 6 and 8 years old. But my father had to say goodbye. He took us to the airport in Vancouver, and he let us go. As a father, when we went overseas, we had to be faced with the concept that our children may go to boarding school. And indeed, our son spent 5 years going to school in Germany. And the way it would work is Betty would go to pick him up and bring him home, and it was always my turn to drop him off. And I would fly to Germany with him, and I would take him to the boarding school, and then I would cry all the way home. It's a difficult thing. In the next slide, you'll see what we looked like just last year. So we've grown a little bit. My son has married a woman with the same name as his daughter. But when he went to Bible, when he went to school in Chicago, as an adult, I remember calling my dad and saying, "Dad, does it ever get any easier to let your son go?" And he said, "No." Just think what God must feel like when we walk away from him. Right now, our children are on two different continents. Our son is in Minneapolis, our daughter is in Germany, and in October, we'll be in Asia, so there'll be three continents for a family of four. So getting together will be a little bit more difficult. When we went to Poland, I remember we were visiting my father at his place in Agassiz, and we shared that God was calling us to go to Poland. And he said these words to us. He said, "Poland? Well, at least it's not Iraq." That's a direct quote. So what do you do with that? Well, 2 years ago, my wife and I came back and we said, "Dad, now it is Iraq. Are you okay with that?" And guess what his response was? "No." It's dangerous. We watch the news. We see that ISIS set up a caliphate in the city of Mosul, that part of the country was taken over, that people were being murdered, that people were being killed, that houses were being destroyed, that people were being raped and sold into slavery. That's reality. Can you imagine sending your son to a place like that? To send your daughter to bless your child to go to a place that's unsafe? Most of the times when we honor our earthly fathers, we're honoring God. But what happens when your heavenly father is calling you to go to some place your earthly father doesn't want you to go? How do you rectify and work through that in your own life? Sometimes we have a higher calling. And it's not that my earthly father doesn't want us to go. He's very proud of what we do. But he doesn't want to lose another son. And his concerns are for our well-being. But we have a higher calling. A long time ago, God has set aside Betty and myself to do work overseas. For me, I was only 15, and the youth were taking the service, and I got to preach, and I was so nervous. I was terrified. One of our international workers that the Lees know well, Harold Preeb, was my pastor, and he groomed me and was discipling me. And I was sitting there so afraid, and I stood behind the pulpit, and I preached for 45 minutes, nonstop, solid as a rock. And then when I sat down, I thought I was going to pass out. But while I was here, I knew that that's where God wanted me to be. And so this calling has led us through difficult times. John 3:16 says that God sent his son for the whole world, not just for North Americans, not just for Chinese or Caucasians, but for everyone. And what are we going to do with that? Maurice, if you can put up the slide that says, "Our Father in Heaven." We want to hallow the name of our Heavenly Father. We want to lift it up. We want to honor it. We want to make it holy. It's set aside. It is to be the name above all names. And we have a higher calling to honor our Heavenly Father. This doesn't mean that we don't dialogue and engage with our earthly father. Our parents have a role in our lives. Our parents are where we are to learn forgiveness, acceptance, and love. And so I want to show you another slide. That's our calling. This picture was taken just outside of Duhok in northern Iraq. You think of people who have good relationships with their fathers. You think of people who have bad relationships with fathers. These children no longer have fathers. They're orphans. Their parents were killed by ISIS. They've been gathered together and they live in a tent with other people who have no homes to return to. Who's going to teach them about our Heavenly Father? The woman standing beside them was captured and spent 2 years living in basements. She was a captive of ISIS, and she was only taken upstairs to be thrown on a mattress, to be raped repeatedly, often by many different men, and then put back in the basement where she lived with other women, never seeing the light until somebody else came around and needed her and wanted her. She was freed after 2 years because somebody paid $50,000 for her release, money that went to ammunition and weapons. What understanding does she have of a father, of a godly man, of someone who would care and protect her? In her society, they are very chaste. And being captured by ISIS means she was forced to convert to Islam. A great shame to her father. And then being taken advantage of sexually like she was, she is no longer pure. Who's going to ask her to be his bride? Who's going to father her children? These are only some of the thousands of stories we came across. In this next picture, there's a picture of a woman in the back with a white head covering. She shared her story in March of 2017 of how she was at home with her six children and her husband, and ISIS soldiers threw open the doors and came in and held them at gunpoint. And as they were being interrogated, her little baby in her arms started to cry and would not be quiet. And one of the soldiers put his gun behind him, grabbed the baby, and threw the child out a window. The mother ran to pick up her child who'd stopped breathing, and she just ran and ran and ran. And the child began to breathe again, but she's had no word from her husband or her other five children. These people need the love of the Father. Young Susanna, in this slide, is only 14 years of age. She was captured at the age of 11. And she was sharing her story, and she told us that she had been sold 17 times in 3 years. Sold from family to family to be used as a servant and a slave and possibly even as a sexual companion. And she escaped when a bomb landed on the house where she was being held, and she fled, stepping over bodies in the streets. As a father, you want to take her in your arms. And you want to say there is a better way. That there is a God, a Heavenly Father, who will never leave you. And who cares for you. And will see you better. Our scripture we read this morning says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Is this just a prayer we pray? That God, we want your kingdom to come on earth? Or is this something we're actually involved in doing? God has called each and every one of us as his children to be about his business. When Jesus was just 12, he was forgotten, lost in the crowd as his parents returned from Jerusalem or from Judea, Jerusalem back to Nazareth. And they looked for him. After 3 days, they found he was missing and he was in the temple. And he told his parents, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing my father's business." What is our father's business? Our father's business is to give hope to the brokenhearted. To take the castaways from society and give them love, give them value, return to them respect and honor. It's forgiveness, it's acceptance, and it's a spiritual inheritance to spend eternity with him where there is no rust and there is no corruption. So how do we get this kingdom to come to earth? We go to the difficult places. As part of this Christian and Missionary Alliance, we are sending our people to the hard places. 70% of our IWs are working in countries where there is less than 2% evangelical. Places where there are not enough churches to see the gospel proclaimed to the entire people group. If you imagine the world and look at ethnic groups in different places that would identify themselves, there are over 16,000 people groups in the world, and 7,000 do not have a viable Christian witness. So why are we going to where we're going? To learn a new language, to embrace a new culture, to wander around in 50-degree temperature. Why? Because our prayer is that God's kingdom will come. And we know that's your prayer. We know that that's what you're doing with your giving. We thank you for that. But what are you doing with the rest of your life, young people? Hey, we're looking for help. Maybe not Iraq. Maybe somewhere else in the world. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I got to spend a week with new recruits. We're going out with the CNMA. There were 21 of us. And besides us and Stanley and Rosa, everybody was under 35. Wow! Going to tough places. To places where it's difficult to be a Christian. But they have been called. Why do they do this? Well, the Lord's Prayer ends this way. It says, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." We honor God when we lift his name, his deeds, and his wondrous majesty above all else. And we honor our fathers. I honor my father when I share with him that I am fulfilling his desire to be a man of integrity, to be a man who cares, to be a man who works hard, and a man who loves others. And the final slide, I just want to say, Dad, if you listen to this message on the internet, I want you to know that I'm proud of you. Thank you for being proud of me. And I think reaching these lost people in Iraq is what you would have me do. And so I honor you this morning. And I honor you, my Heavenly Father. Give us strength as we go. And we know that we no longer go alone, but we go with the prayers of your people and with their support and hopefully with them as well. God bless you as we serve together.